Well, how are we doing this morning, Revolution? You guys good? Yeah. I love that title, Friend of Revolution. I feel like I need to add that to the resume or my bio or something. But I really think that it's true. And in fact, I was thinking about it because today is such a significant day in the life of this church as we're introduced to the new lead pastor of Revolution. I was thinking back to just kind of my friendship with this church and with leaders in this church. And you guys may not know this, but the founding pastor, Anthony, and I actually met for the first time when I was a student ministry intern leading on stage at Oak Brook Church in Kokomo, Indiana, when Anthony was just there kind of gathering with that first team and dreaming about what this church community could be like. And so it's kind of full circle for me now to be here on this day as we're stepping into the next chapter for Revolution. And before we jump into what I think God has for us today, I just want to send some encouragement to you as you're stepping into this next chapter. It has been so fun for me to be a friend of Revolution and see you guys and how you've led so well all throughout the past several years, but especially in these past few months as you're navigating through a season of change. Change is never easy, and a transition is never anybody's favorite season to navigate through, but you guys have carried it so well, and it's been really fun for me to watch and to cheer you guys on from over in good old Peru. And specifically, just really quickly, I wanted to just send some encouragement to your staff team, because I have been in ministry long enough to have navigated through a few transitions on my own, and it's never easy for anyone, but the people who typically carry the weight of that are staff teams. And I have the privilege of not only being a friend of Revolution in general, but to be friends with several of your staff team members. And I just want to say they've done an incredible job leading and stewarding this past season of stepping up and really carrying the weight of leadership for this time. So just like to start, I'm sure we'll do more of this in the days ahead, but can we just like give it up for your staff team here and how well they've led? Yeah, it's been awesome. It's been inspirational for me just to see how well you guys have done it. So thanks again for your leadership in this season. For me, when we're talking about the best summer ever, the best summer ever has to include a trip to the lake for me. I grew up going to my grandparents' lake cottage in northern Indiana, and almost every weekend in the summer, we would go up there. And when I was young, it was always chaotic and energetic. We would get the speedboat out, or when I was a little older, I could get on the jet ski. We would inner tube. My brother and I would play King of the Hill on like a literal tractor tire inner tube out on the water. We would try and get on top of it and knock each other off. But in recent days, the lake is still this place of refuge, this place of relaxation for me. And whenever I get up there, more often than not these days, I like to hang out in a kayak. I get up early and I'll go out and paddle out there when the water's really still. And for me, it's just this spot where I can recharge, I can connect with God. And it's like, man, that's the best part of summer right there for me. It's just those quiet moments on the lake. But there's still some chaos in my world too, because that other picture is my daughter, Eden. And it's been fun for me as she is growing older to see her now starting to step into some of the things that I love to do as a kid. That's her wearing my Snoopy life jacket from when I was a little kid, but she looks so much cooler than I ever did. Look at that attitude in that picture. I love it. But for me, summer equals a trip to the lake, but I'm not the only person who has significant moments that happen by the lake, right? We all have the lake that we go to, or a lot of us if you're that person. Some of you, maybe you're joining us online because that's where you are today. But there are actually significant moments in Jesus's life and in Jesus's ministry that happened around a lake or around a body of water. Jesus called his first followers who were fishermen, and he met them on the lake and called them out from their vocation and gave them this new exciting adventure. There's stories in scripture where Jesus does remarkable things. He calms storms on the sea as his disciples are out in a boat. But the story that I want to share with you today through our best summer ever is one of my favorite lake stories of Jesus, if you want to call it that. It's one of the most famous miracles that Jesus performs, and that's the encounter Peter has with Jesus when Peter gets out of the boat and actually walks on water towards Jesus. Even if you're here and you don't know what you believe about Jesus, or you're just kind of checking out faith, I would imagine you've probably heard this story at some point along the way. It's maybe even a story that some people kind of poke fun at, because it's like, how could Jesus really walk on water? And then Peter gets out there, but he starts to sink, and it's kind of crazy. Maybe it feels too fantastic or illogical to try and wrap your head around. But until this week, as I was thinking about this story, I realized there's a detail that I always got wrong and I always misunderstood about this story. Because the way that I remembered it and the way that I feel like it was taught to me growing up is that Jesus is walking out on water late at night or early in the morning, and his disciples see him, and Jesus calls out to Peter, and then Peter has the courage to step out and walk on the water. That's how I always remembered the story going. But the text actually has an important detail that says something a little different. And here's what happens in that moment when the disciples see Jesus out walking on the water. Peter sees Jesus and he says, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And I don't know if you like caught this subtle difference there between the way I always saw it and what scripture actually says happened, but Peter's adventure out onto the water wasn't Jesus's idea. Peter stepping out of the boat, moving towards Jesus, stepping into something big and risky was actually Peter's idea. Like he had the idea when he saw Jesus performing this miraculous moment, when he saw Jesus for who he really is, he said, "Hey, if that's you, call me out," right? If that's you, I wanna step out. I wanna go there. I wanna do that too. And I think there's something in that that is actually true of all of us, right? All of us wanna be a part of something bigger than ourselves. All of us wanna live lives of significance and meaning along the way. In fact, recently, I was cleaning up my house and I found my preschool yearbook. So pictures of me when I was like 3, 4 years old. And one of the questions they asked all of us as preschoolers was, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" And I was cracking up looking at the answers. There were a lot of like pilots and astronauts. My favorite was Buzz Lightyear. Like, I want to be Buzz Lightyear when I grow up. I think that's still true of me, but we'll see if that ever turns out. But here's the thing. We all have big dreams, right? We all have ambitions or things in us that we wish maybe looked a little different. And have you ever heard this question posed to you before? What would you do in your life if you knew you couldn't fail? Has everybody ever posed that question to you before? Kind of an exercise of our imaginations. Maybe that's a question that you think is for younger people, right? Graduation season just kind of wrapped up. It kind of feels like that kind of a question. Like for somebody with their life ahead of them, what are they going to do with their life? What are they going to step into along the way? But I think the truth is all of us have an answer to that question that's important to us. All of us can think of something in our life that we wish we could step out. And I don't mean like, if I knew I couldn't fail, I would play the lottery. Okay, that's not the like level of dream I'm talking about today. But really, like, what's the vision for your life? What's the big, crazy idea that you have inside of you that maybe you haven't told anybody or it feels like it's too much, but it's just been rattling around in your head and you haven't done a lot with it? Let me drill down on this question a little more and maybe make it a little more personal for you today. What do you wish was true about your life that isn't? What do you wish looked different in your life? What new challenge would you take on if you could take it on? What career change would you pursue? Or what thing would you create? What risk would you take? Again, I think all of us have that desire in us to do something incredible, to live a life of meaning and significance. And asking those kinds of questions also begs another question for all of us, and that's simply this: what's stopping you? Right, what would you do if you couldn't fail? And what's stopping you from doing it? What's stopping you from stepping out and going for it? What's stopping you from the family that you want? From the relationship with God that you desire, that dream that you have? To be honest, we're all guilty of this at times, aren't we? Of feeling this nudge from God or getting a sense that maybe there's something more for us, but we all kind of come up with those excuses. We're like, I don't have time for that. I don't have the money to do that thing or to risk what I want to risk. Maybe you feel like you don't have the right connections. Maybe you just flat out would be honest and be like, I'm scared. Like, I don't know if it's going to work out. So if I go for it and I fail, I don't know if I could handle that along the way. Maybe you just don't know where to start. But what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? I believe wholeheartedly, and again, being a friend of this church, I know that there's people in the seats today who are big dreamers, who believe that God can and wants to do more in you and through you than you could ask or imagine. But I think all of us can be guilty at times of stepping back from that, of maybe feeling that nudge from God, but not taking the next step, of not moving forward. We all have dreams and desires in us, but whatever your answer may be to the question of what you would do if you really believed you couldn't fail, all of us have this enemy standing in the way of us stepping into a God-sized adventure. And I think that unfortunate reality that faces all of us is fear. Like, isn't it true that beyond our resources or our availability or our desire to do big things for God, often the thing that holds us back the most is simply fear. It's this fear that if we step out, right, maybe we'll look like a fool. This fear that if we go after something, it'll be too hard. Or if we risk it and it doesn't work out, we'll never recover. We can get caught up in being stuck in fear, and we can miss out on the big things that God has for us. And I think this is a really important thing for us to talk about here at Revolution as you're jumping into the next chapter. Because the truth is, this is an exciting day. This is a day, right, we're making the big announcement, the introduction to our new lead pastor. But it's also coming on the tail end of a season of change. And as we navigate change, it's easy to be fearful, right? It's easy to want to hold on maybe to things as we knew it and to not stay as open to God as all of us want to be. So I think it's an important thing for us to wrestle with, this idea of fear. And we see fear all over Peter's story, even in the moments leading right up to his big miracle. So if we go back to the pre-story, what happened before Peter steps out of the boat and walks towards Jesus, you'll see that our word fear shows up along the way. And my hope is that with our time together, as we look at how Peter actually found the courage to step out, that you might grab a vision for your life and the courage in your life to step into the big things that God may have for you. And for this church community, that we could become people who are willing to step out even in the face of our fears. But again, there's fear all over the story from the very beginning, because even just a few moments before Jesus' disciples head out in their boat, here's what happens. Jesus had performed this miracle. It was an amazing moment. And the text says immediately after this, Jesus insisted that his disciples get back in the boat and cross to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. Did you catch Jesus' posture in that? Jesus had to insist that his followers get back in the boat. Why do you think that would be the case? Right? Why does he have to work so hard? Like, guys, you gotta make the trip. You've gotta go. Well, if you read just a few chapters before this, Jesus had sent his followers, maybe even in that very same boat, on that very same body of water. He sent them out across the sea. And while they were out there, there was suddenly this massive storm that popped up. Jesus was with them this time, but this storm pops up and everybody's freaking out. They think the boat is going to sink. And Jesus just kind of calmly at the end of the day performs this miracle, calms down the wind, and everybody's fine. But I can imagine for those guys, when Jesus is like, guys, get back in the boat, they're like, uh-uh. Right? We remember what happened last time, Jesus, right? The whole storm thing, and you were calm, that's cool, but we were freaking out, and we don't want to do that again, so we're not going there. So Jesus, right, he encounters their fear early on, and he had to insist, he had to push a little bit, he had to encourage them, like, no, guys, get in the boat, take the trip, I'll meet you on the other side. And the text goes on, and we'll see even more reasons to fear show up. Because after sending them on, the text says that Jesus went up to the hills by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone, but meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble, far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. Lots of reasons to be afraid, right? There they are again in the boat. Like Jesus insisted, they finally relented. They're in the boat. They're out there. They're a long way from land. Trouble's brewing. The waves are getting restless. The storm is coming. The wind is blowing. It's the perfect recipe for fear to enter the story. And as if that's not enough, right? Back on that boat, back in another storm, here's what happens next. Around 3 o'clock in the morning, where we're like none of us are at our best, right? At 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. You think? Right? They see him walking towards them. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Like they're already afraid. Because the storm's happening, Jesus had to convince them to even get in the boat, like their stress level had to be high, and then they see somebody walking towards them on the water at 3 a.m. It's totally reasonable for us to think, like, yeah, these are guys who should be afraid, right? Like, none of us are like, oh, those cowardly disciples, they can't handle 70-mile-per-hour winds and 20-foot waves in their fishing boat with the freaky guy walking towards them at 3 a.m., weak, right? Nobody thinks that. It makes perfect sense to be afraid because there's everything terrifying about this story and about this moment. And I get what the disciples are dealing with here because to be honest, as a kid, I was kind of a fearful little dude. I mean, literally, I'm not the biggest guy in the world. So some of it was self-preservation. I needed to be a little fearful of navigating through life. But I can remember beyond just kind of the regular creepy stuff that I was afraid of, like haunted houses and scary movies, I can remember I had this really distinct fear almost every night when I was little that there was going to be a fire in my house for some reason. I don't know if it's just because my parents had gone over the plan with me so many times that I was just like, it's going to happen, right? We're so prepared. It has to happen. But we were a family that had the plan, like, if there was something that happened in the middle of the night and there was a fire or something, like, we were going to gather at the big tree in our front yard, and that was, like, our rallying point. So my parents were great parents and came up with that plan, but they also told me along the way that I couldn't stop and bring anything with me, right? If there's an emergency, just get out of the house. So I used to sleep with all of my stuffed animals and any toy that I thought I'm gonna need this in the future. I just tucked them all under my arms. So I would like sleep in my little bed like this, because if there was an emergency, I couldn't stop to get anything, but I was just taking it all with me. I was like, I'm gonna get out of the house and I'm gonna hold on to it. But in those moments of fear for me, when I would tell my parents, like, hey, I'm afraid something's gonna happen, my parents would often give me the same advice. They would say, hey, it's okay, there's nothing to be afraid of. Maybe you've heard that advice before in some situation. Maybe even as an adult, somebody said, hey, it's okay, you can step out, right? You can risk it. There's nothing to be afraid of. But to be honest, I don't think that that's the most true advice in the world. And in fact, when you look at Jesus's posture, Jesus never tried to dismiss fears away from his followers. Throughout scripture, there's never a moment where Jesus says, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of. But here's exactly what Jesus says in response to seeing his followers fear in that boat, in that moment. Jesus sees them afraid, and he spoke to them at once. Don't be afraid, he said. Take courage. I'm here. And this is Jesus's normal response to fear. Whenever he sees his followers wrestling with fear, he looks at him and he says, hey, don't be afraid, which seems like obvious advice, right? Like, thanks, Jesus, I'll just turn that one off. But what he's getting at, time and time again, he actually commands his followers at times to say, hey, do not be afraid because I'm with you, right? He's like, stop it, calm down, it's all good. Not to try to explain their fears away, right? Jesus didn't say like, hey guys, there's nothing to worry about here. It's just a terrible storm and a spooky ghost walking towards you. He doesn't try and explain it away. He doesn't say it's irrational. He doesn't say there's no reason to be afraid. He wants his followers to realize that their fears are legitimate. And when it comes to your big dreams, when it comes to the thing that God has put in you, it's okay to have fear around what it looks like to step out and to pursue that. Jesus isn't saying, hey, there's nothing to be afraid of. But the message of Jesus is, you don't have to be afraid even if there's something to be afraid of, right? You don't have to be afraid even if there's reasonably something there that you should be worried about, that it makes sense to be concerned about. There's not a place where Jesus is like, hey, nothing to be afraid of, nothing to see here, boys. Rather, Jesus says like, hey, here's the storm, right? Here's some waves. Here's the setting that is totally full of fear and understandably scary, right? Here's the potential risks of stepping out and making that career change. Here's like the risk of you attempting that thing that is in you. Here's the risk of bringing up that conversation that you know you need to have, but you keep kicking it down the road. Jesus says, here's all of that, but you don't have to be afraid, even when there's something to be afraid of. And you know what that's called? It's called faith. Stepping out and trusting God even in the midst of your fear, right? Not diminishing your fear, not hiding it, but saying, hey, it's okay. I don't have to be afraid even when there's something to fear. That's faith. Like Jesus is literally saying, you should fear if you're looking at this logically. Like fear is natural, and I've made you that way, right? I put you in this situation where fear is very natural. I'm calling you to do something scary, but you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. Have faith that with me, anything can be accomplished. Have faith, like take courage because I'm here and I'm with you. There's all kinds of reasons to fear, but you don't have to. And what I hope you get today from this conversation we're having in the middle of the best summer ever, I hope you get that you can actually choose faith over fear. You can actually choose faith in the midst of a fearful situation. And that mantra, I know it was like all over social media in the past couple of years, wasn't it? As we were navigating through the pandemic and we're trying to figure out, oh my gosh, what in the world is happening in the world? And I don't necessarily want to talk about it in those terms today, but the reality is this is where our dreams have to start. That if you want to step out, if you want to see God do something significant in you and through you, then you have to be a person who's willing to choose faith even in the face of your fear. And I know it's not easy. In fact, I know this is the very thing that holds so many of us back. We get afraid and we just stop there, right? We let those dreams stay inside of us and we never take the next step. But for so many of us, right, our fears, although they're rational, although they make sense, the answer isn't to like convince yourself that it's possible or that it's easier. The answer isn't to minimize your fears, but the answer is to move forward still, even in the midst of fear. It's to be willing to step out and to move forward, even in the midst of whatever situation or circumstance you find yourself in. And that is exactly what Peter does. But I think the natural question for us today is how? Right? It sounds good on the surface. We're like, yeah, I want to be the faith person, not the fear person. I want to be the big dream, adventuresome life person, not the like shallow, safe, comfortable person. But how do we actually do that? Right? How do we actually step out in the face of our fear? Well, in the midst of it, there's three things that Peter does that we see in his response to Jesus that I think can help us navigate our own fears and our own dreams as we try to be people who step out and trust God. And the first thing that Peter does is he says it out loud. He actually says his big dream and his big idea out loud. Because remember, he's in the boat. He's seeing all this happening. He sees the ghost and he's like, oh my gosh, that kind of looks like Jesus. Like, is that really him? And remember where we started this story today? Peter sees Jesus and finally he recognizes like, oh my gosh, that's Jesus walking towards me. And the text says, then Peter called out to him and said, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on water. How long do you think Peter was like in the boat, knees knocking, like, man, if he can do that, that'd be real cool, right? Like, that's kind of who Peter was, right? He was always the like bullheaded guy who's just like, if he can do that, I want to do that. And he would storm ahead before he had a plan. How long was he sitting there thinking like, man, I want to do that before he had the courage to say, Jesus, if that's you, tell me to do it, right? Tell me to go for it. It was Peter's idea, but he didn't just have the idea. He actually said it out loud. And we have to do the same thing. How often have you felt a nudge from God? Have you felt a sense that God wanted to do something in your life? Whether it was something kind of ordinary, like a conversation that you need to have, or maybe a habit that you know you need to break, or just some step that you need to take, and you've had the idea, and then you just sat on it, right? You thought like, yeah, I think God's in that, but it would sound so silly if I brought it up, right? They might laugh at me if I told them what I really felt like God was telling me to do. My spouse might think I'm crazy if I bring this up along the way. And how many of those dreams, those ambitions, those things that God has put in you, have you just held on to for fear of not being accepted if you actually spoke it into existence? Friends, the truth is saying it out loud is often the beginning step of faith. Just acknowledging like, hey, I think God is up to something in my life and I wanted to share it with you. That could be one of the most courageous first steps that you take as it relates to these things that God wants to do in us. Because when you say it out loud, it actually puts some accountability to the dream, right? It goes from just being that idea that maybe you think about when you're brushing your teeth and then go back to the real world later. It takes it from that space and it invites others in as well. Other people who can affirm like, man, that's amazing. Right? Yeah, you should go for that. Or, hey, let's work on a plan for you to be able to go for that. When we say it out loud, we invite others into the process. And man, I felt this just about a year ago when we were navigating the decision to launch Story Church. And trying to figure out, like, man, is God still up to something in Peru? Does he still want to use this group of people who have been trying to make this thing happen for a few years now? Like, is he done here, or does he want more? When I brought up first to my boss at the time, a friend and a pastor who had overseen me, like, hey, what do you think about us, like, launching off on our own and starting this church again for, like, the third time? When I had to brought that up, it sounded crazy. And honestly, I wasn't even 100% settled that it was the right thing when I first brought it up. So that's how I lead, right? I'm like, yeah, maybe I think God's in this, and then we bring it up. But just saying it out loud started the conversations that led to where we are today. Just saying it out loud was the first step in the faith-filled journey of launching Story Church, which I believe is a God-given, God-driven thing in my life. And I believe you have those in you too. There are things that God wants to do in you and through you, whether that's you individually, maybe in your personal life, maybe in your career, maybe some ministry opportunity that's in front of you, or whether that's for all of us together as Revolution Community Church, right? God has big dreams for you, but they often start when you have the courage to say it out loud, when you have the courage to tell a friend, to talk to somebody about it. So challenge number one, step number one, if you want to live a life marked by faith, talk about it. Say it out loud to a friend. Tell your spouse, tell somebody that you trust along the way, tell your small group, and don't put like qualifiers around it. Don't be like, hey, I know it's crazy, or look, we don't have the money, I get it, but just say it, right? Just get it out there and say, hey, I feel like God has this for me. That's step number one to living that life of faith, and saying it out loud is powerful because when we say our dream out loud, we also give Jesus the opportunity to say back to us the very same thing that he said to Peter. Peter says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you. And Jesus says, yes, come. Yeah, yeah, it is me. And you are you, and that is a really incredible dream that you have. And so he's like, come on, like, let's go for it. Let's do this, let's step out. And maybe for you, when you speak up, you'll hear that voice through a godly friend who says, yeah, that's a great idea. And I love seeing you step into your giftedness and step into your calling. Maybe you hear it through a circumstance that just confirms, like, yeah, the opportunity is right, right? The time is right here. Maybe you hear it through a talk at a church about walking on water, right? But like somewhere along the way, when you're willing to verbalize your dream, you give Jesus the opportunity to say, absolutely, I made you for that. So step into it. So say it out loud. A deeper faith starts there, but it continues in the second half of this verse because Jesus says, yes, come. So Peter went over the side of the boat and he walked on the water towards Jesus. See, when it comes to like what we really want to do, what we dream, like Peter has the courage to say it. He speaks it out loud and then he does something about it. And the next thing we have to do if you want to live a life marked by faith is you have to actually get out of the boat, right? You have to actually do something. You have to actually put some action behind your dream. And doing something, it's not about you accomplishing the dream. It's about you stepping out so that your faith can follow, right? It's about you taking that first step. Peter didn't know. He didn't know if he was just going to sink like he has every other time he's gotten out of a boat or if Jesus was going to do something amazing. But he had the courage to lift that leg over and step out and see what God could do. So we say it out loud. Then we get out and we take a first step. Right, we do something that moves us in the direction of our dream or our goal or our ambition. We say it out loud. We get out of the boat. And then the third thing that happens after Peter gets out of the boat, check this out. He gets out of the boat and he has this moment of fear. Because when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified. And he started to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. He has this moment of doubt. He gets out of the boat. He's there on the water. He's doing this incredible thing that reflects the greatness of God on display in his life. And then he looks around and he gets terrified again and he starts sinking like a rock. And that moment for Peter, I'm sure, looks a lot like failure. Remember we started with that question, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? Well, understand that when it comes to moving in the direction of the dreams that God has for you, you have to have a willingness to fail anyway. You have to be willing to fail if you're going to step out and trust God. That's a piece of the whole faith thing. It's a willingness to fail. And think about that moment in the story we're talking about. There are 12 guys in that boat, but only one of them put his foot over the edge of the boat and stepped out. And this quality might have been the thing that separated Peter from the other disciples more than anything. Peter failed more than any other disciple, right? Again, he was the guy who just ran in the room before he had a plan. He was the guy who was like, yeah, Jesus, whatever, and ran after it. But maybe the reason that he failed so often was because he was the one who was most willing to step out in faith. He was willing to risk it more than any of the others. And because of that, as the story goes on, eventually Peter becomes the leader of this movement we know as the church. The guy who failed the most often becomes the guy in charge of the whole operation in a lot of ways. And so here's the point. You can't walk on water if you're not willing to fail. You can't step into a God-sized dream if you're not willing to risk something. And sometimes that's a big risk. Maybe it's a big financial risk. Maybe it's some investment of your time. Maybe it's just the simple risk of your comfort or your opinions or the way it's always been or any of that stuff that can hang us up and hold us back. And if your dream is to step out, here's the thing. You should expect some pushback. You should expect some moments of failure along the way. If you have a dream inside of you that could change the lives of other people, then expect people at times to be less than enthusiastic about it. To maybe even doubt you along the way. Expect to fall on your face a time or two. Expect to experience some rejection along the way. Expect there to be twists and turns that you didn't see coming along the way, because that's what happens in every faith-filled journey, in every faith-filled adventure. Things don't always go the way that we plan if we're following God's plan, if he's the one in charge, and if you're gonna pursue those dreams inside of you. From the outset, you've gotta be willing to fail. But here's the promise that we have. If you're here and you're a follower of Jesus, first, God put those dreams inside of you for a reason. He wants you to step into something bigger than yourself. But we also have the promise that no matter what the outcome of stepping out is, no matter what the outcome of actually saying yes to God and going after that dream is, whether it's success or whether it's failure, we have the promise that we're not alone in the midst of it. And that's what Peter discovered in that moment where he started to sink. Because Jesus didn't get angry at him for his lack of faith. Jesus didn't just let him sink and flounder and like, good luck, buddy. Hope you find some water wingies. No, here's what Jesus did. Jesus immediately reached out and caught him. And that's what happens in those moments. When we step out in a dream and we start to fail, Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. I can picture Jesus laughing as he says these next words. He says, "You have so little faith," Jesus said. "Why did you doubt me?" But when they climbed back in the boat, the wind stopped and the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaimed. See, Peter said it out loud. He took that step out of the boat, and even in that moment of failure, when he was willing to fail, the result was still that everybody praised God for what he could do in Peter's life, for that moment where God's character was put on display. And the very same thing is true for you. So friends, if you actually have the courage to step out, here's what you need to know. It's that Jesus promises to never leave you. Never. Not once. Not in any season, not in any circumstance will he leave you. And so here's the thing, Revolution. Like, I believe wholeheartedly that you, like as an individual, God has dreams and ambitions inside of you that you're called to live out. And I know that fear can get in the way of that. I know that it can be so easy to shrink back and to want to live a life of comfort and a life of ease, but you're going to miss out on God's best for you if you do that. And here's what else I know. For this church, as a community, on this really exciting day, in a lot of ways, as we're kicking off a new chapter in the story of Revolution Community Church, there's going to be a temptation in this church to shrink back, to let fear rule the day. But what I love about Revolution, what I love about this community, is that you always strive to be people who are motivated by faith, not by fear. That you are the crazy, big dreamer, risk takers of Logansport, Indiana, who are willing to say it out loud, who are willing to get out of the boat, and who are willing to fail for the cause of the kingdom, for the cause of Jesus to do something remarkable. And friends, that's not done. God's not done moving in this church. And I want you for just a second with me to imagine what it must have been like for Peter to tell that story when he got out of the boat. Imagine him later in life, maybe telling some Jesus followers who have joined the church movement under his leadership. He's like, "Guys, you think I'm impressive now, but I'll tell you what, when I saw Jesus walking at 3 a.m., I was terrified. I was terrified, but you know what? I recognized it was him. I knew that was really him, and I don't know where it came from, but somewhere I found the courage to be like, hey, I'll step out. I'll go for it. And I didn't just say it, but I actually put my foot over the edge of that boat, and I took one step, and I took another step, and it was amazing, right? But I'll be honest, I still got afraid. I messed up, I failed a little bit, but Jesus was right there all along, and he caught me. Can you imagine how that inspired their faith then? And my hope for you today is that maybe it would inspire yours as well. Like, can you imagine what it would be like for you when someday you give an account for your life? Will you be like Peter? And will you be able to be the person who says, look, there was every reason to be afraid, but I chose to step out anyway. I chose to trust that my Savior was gonna be with me every step of the way. And because of that, God did amazing things in and through my life that were bigger than I could have asked and bigger than I could have imagined. Friends, that's on the line for you. And that's on the line for this church community. We can be people who dream big dreams and who live with big faith, or we can be people who tell stories of how we played it safe. But I believe God wants something bigger. So here's what we're gonna do next. We wanna actually give you space just to respond to God and to whatever he may be stirring up to you in this moment and in this season. So if you would stand up, we're gonna sing together, and I would just encourage you, like whatever, however this message lands for you, whatever you feel like God is doing in you, I just encourage you, man, go for it in these next few moments as we sing these songs. Open your heart up to God, and together let's be a community with big faith that says God really can do incredible things, and at the end of the day, we want to give him all of the glory and all of the credit. Let's respond together.